Great. Well, welcome everybody. Thanks for being here. We've got a smaller group today, which is sometimes kind of nice. This is the second of the two CB101 community building conference calls, and our last one for the year. So hooray, I guess. In a way, we're kind of looking forward to that maybe for the break. Last week we explored what community means to us and in many different ways that we describe or identify community. And in your required learning activity, use words to describe your communities, such as a bear hibernating or active in summer. Some people compare the communities to rivers and people like fish or Arctic cotton, which is a really beautiful one, but different people like it seeds, or like an island or a blizzard becoming calm sunny day, or a wolf pack or a snowy owl. There are others too. That was just a little scoop of some of the ideas. Some of you mentioned how recreation can help your community flourish, and there were different ideas that came out there too. Ideas like improving access to recreation services through grants, or something I really liked, a come-as-you-are approach. There was the idea that by increasing traditional activities and games and sharing circles, that might help community to let its guard down and start to feel like a family. And other things like offering healthy snacks and healthy choices, and by communicating with the community to get their feedback, to keep our reflections, or to keep our recreation offerings better suited to our communities. This week, we're going to explore what community building is, as well as when, and how to use that community development approach. So on today's call, we're going to do a short round of introductions. We'll explore some of the topics that are introduced in slides 17 through 25. And then when we get to slide 27, we'll respond to some of the questions listed there. So to begin, we're going to just do a quick round of introductions. And I'm going to just pop the question into the chat if I get to it before Carolyn. Oh, before Carolyn does, sometimes she's pretty quick. She did it. So the question is, please introduce yourself and then use one word to describe your thoughts about our Recreation North community. Now, we've got five people on the call here today, Peter, Nathan, Dana, Kumanakpik, and Saruna. So we'll go in that order. That's the order that we followed, that we joined the call today. We'll go Peter, Nathan, and Dana first. So if you could introduce yourself and one word to describe your thoughts about our Recreation North community. Go ahead, Peter. And you can enter your answer into the chat, too, if you'd like.
Hi, my name's Peter Jacob. From Whitehorse, and one word I would use to describe our Recreation Northern community. First community is inclusive.
Yeah, right on. Awesome. Thanks, Peter. Over to Nathan in Baker Lake. How about you?
Yeah, Nathan here. I was sort of thinking... What was that compound word, sort of like, yeah, it's sort of along the lines of inclusive, like close-knit community.
Oh, very nice, Nathan. I like that. Thank you. Inclusive, close-knit. Dana, how about you?
My name's Dana. I am in recreation for Clemendon First Nation here in Whitehorse. One word I would use to describe it is diverse. We've got a lot of different people joining, and
Awesome. Yeah, diverse is a great one. And now we've got Kumanakpik and then Serena. Kumanakpik, how about in Iqaluit? What is one word that you would think of to describe our community?
Okay. I'm going to be on the tail for the creation coordinator for Coordinator for Municipality of Iqaluit. The word I would use for a recognized community is maybe family. Also, Kevin, and you just got here.
All right, that's awesome. Thanks very much for letting me know. And yeah, family's great. I really like that. That's very nice. A couple of people just joined the call. Can you let me know who's here?
David.
Hi, David. How are you? I'm well, and how are you?
I'm great, thanks. I'm going to add you into the list in just a moment here, okay?
Okay.
And did somebody else just join the call, too?
Yeah, Joanne and Andrew joined.
Joanne, okay, great. Joanne, are you able to join us to talk during the call, or are you listening in today?
Hey, I'm able to join the call. I'm just running a little late there. I was warming up my machine.
Fair enough. It's been a cold day all over. Thanks very much for being able to join us. Okay, so we're just doing introductions for the folks who are just joining in. What we're looking for is one word to describe your thoughts about our recreation or community. We've heard from Peter, Nathan, Dana, and Kumanathik, and I'm going to go to Serena, and then David, and Joanne, and then Andrew and Trevor. If you want to add a comment either into the chat or chime in at the end, that would be great. So we'll go to Serena and then David next.
Hi, my name is Serena, youth recreation support worker. Oh my goodness, I can't speak today. And I would say that our recreation is growing.
Awesome. I hope you're right. It would be nice if our community was growing. Thanks, Serena. David and then Joanne, and then Andrew and Trevor, if you want to add anything or add anything into the chat, would be lovely. So, David, how about you? What are your thoughts about our recreation? One word to describe your thoughts about our Recreation North community.
David, program coordinator, Elder Active. One word to describe. Yeah, I kind of like what she said about growing, but diverse.
Awesome. Thanks, David. Yeah, it's a word that's come up before, but it's always great when great minds think alike. Thanks, David. All right, Joanne, how about you? We're over to you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Joanne Weinmark calling from Kingite, formerly known as Cape Dorset, located on the southern tip of Baffin Island. My thoughts about this Recreation North community are described in one word is connected. If I have any more thoughts, I'll just pop in the chat.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks very much, Joanne. I really like that. That's a lovely word to use to describe our community. Somebody else just joined the call, or recently just joined the call. Is that Scott by chance?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Scott. How are you?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm great. We're just doing a round of introductions. I'm going to see if Andrew or Trevor would like to respond to our question. They're all together in a glue look. If you want to do your introduction and one word to describe our Recreation North community, and then Scott will go over to you after Andrew and Trevor.
They're going to go through the chat.
Great. Okay, thanks very much. We'll look for it in the chat in just a moment. Scott, would you be ready to do your introduction and your thoughts on our Rec North community in one word?
Sure. Yeah, Scott Cluche here, Executive Director for Hay River Youth Center, and I guess my word would be potential.
Potential?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. All right. Thanks very much, Scott. That's great. Yeah, I'm writing these down. I think that they're really fantastic.
And Tim, I think Billy Joe just joined too.
Oh, right on. That's great. Hi, Billy Joe. Billy Joe, we're just finishing up a round of introductions. If you'd like to introduce yourself, and if you have a word that you can use to describe our Rec North community, we'd love to hear it. You can also enter it into the chat. I see you've entered the chat as well. You might be on mute still, but I'll give you another second here, and then I'll think you're going to probably unmute the chat. So, yep, there's Billy Joe in the chat. Trevor has chosen the word community to describe our community. It's a good tautology. It's a word that perfectly describes what we are. You're right. Billy Joe from Fort Simpson, if you've got a word that describes our Rec North community, I would love if you could pop it into the chat too. So there we go. We've got a good round of folks on the call again. I'd like to just turn you over to the slideshow just for a few minutes, and I'd like to take a look starting at slide 17. So if you're at the slideshow, great. If you're not, please jump on. The slide asks the question, what is community building? And community building, I think we could describe that as a field of practice that's sometimes referred to as community development. The goal of that is to get local people to act upon things that impact their well-being and the quality of life for all their community. Building community means involving the right people, those people with lived experiences, enabling them to develop their strengths and their assets and their capacity to make a difference. Having a personal philosophy about community building can help you as a recreation leader and work better with your community. Some of you found, though, that there are barriers and that there are also opportunities. And you mentioned these, or some of these anyway, in last week's ROA. The TEDx talk linked on slide 18, introduces other challenges. Let's take a moment to identify some of the barriers to community building. So if you would just take a moment, in your experience, what is a barrier to community building? We're going to follow the same order that we did last time. We'll start with Peter and Nathan and Dana. Thanks, Carolyn. Let's put the full list into the chat there. So Peter, if you would start off, in your experience, what is a barrier to community building?
I would guess like participation, like in willingness to participate. It's sometimes really challenging to get people to want to do something, even if it might interest them and be healthy and enriching for them.
Yeah, for sure. A willingness to participate, for sure, Peter. That's definitely something that even when people feel like they want to, sometimes just for lots of reasons can't. Lorianne in the Honey Butte, is that you who just jumped in?
Yeah, it is. Hello, good morning.
And good morning. Is Jennifer with you?
Yeah, she should be calling in pretty soon. We're both on a conference call from home because it's very cold this morning.
Okay. Copy that.
So
that's probably Jennifer joining us now.
She should be coming in, yeah. But she's on the chat as well.
Okay, great. We're going to add you onto the end of our list of going around the circle. So right now our question is, what is a barrier that you have experienced to community building? So thanks, Peter. So willingness to participate is one that we come up with quite frequently. Nathan, how about you? And then Dana and Kuminoktik.
Well, the one thing I really noticed are, like, certain people, negative people. Try and get something going, and they're like, oh, it's not going to work out. Oh, you're just going to lose money. Oh, no one's going to show up. Like, and then the spirit suddenly dies and the enthusiasm dies. First there was people interested, and then when that negative person spoke up, and then people shied away. So I'd say negative people.
Yeah, for sure. And this idea has come up before. And it can be a hard thing to push through, but I appreciate the perseverance of all recreation people in sticking by your vision for what can be great. Thanks, Nathan. So we're going to go over to Dana, and then the folks in Iglulik, Kunopik, Andrew and Trevor, and feel free again, as always, to add things into the chat. And then we'll go over to Serena. So we're at Dana. Dana, what is your experience for barriers to community building?
I think often it can be lack of resources, like as in people in the community who are wanting to get involved.
Yeah, I think there are probably not many people on the call who don't know what you're talking about. For sure, that's something that we often face. Thanks for mentioning that. I see Jennifer's going to enter in the chat, so we'll check that out at the end. Kuminoktek and Andrew and Trevor, would you like to respond to the question? What are some of the barriers that you have faced in community building?
Okay. What is a barrier to community building? Venues, the intention in people not wanting to get out their comfort zones, and the loss of willingness in people.
People not wanting to come out of their comfort zones. I caught that one. Could you say the first one and the last one again, Tomiopic?
Very first one was venues. And,
okay, yeah.
And the loss of willingness in people.
For sure. Yeah, thank you for mentioning that. Really interesting, the idea of people not wanting to push out of their comfort zone. That's something that certainly I have experienced personally, too. And I see Trevor's put something into the chat here. So great, community councils can be a challenge for sure. Wow, really big one. Thanks very much for that. And Andrew's agreeing. We've got, well, we'll check into the chat again in a minute. Serena, we're going to go to you next, and then we'll go to David and Joanne.
Just going off to Dana, like staff, I know that we want to do a lot more things with the community and not just with youth and kids. And then also because of our staffing, it restricts access to the recreation building to the community members who really want to use it.
Yeah, Serena, I really hear you. Staffing has been a big issue, not just in Whitehorse, but I think probably all around the country and possibly all around North America right now. It's having a real impact for us in recreation for most sectors, I think. Thanks for mentioning that. We'll go to David and then Joanne. Scott and Billy Joe, and I think that Jennifer and Lorianne, I don't know if you want to add on to into chat or if you're going to comment. We'll get to you. You're going to follow up Billy Joe. So David, over to you.
Okay. One of the main barriers I find with recreation and community building is communications. We seem to be going towards electronic communication more and more, yet there's a large group of individuals in the elder range that they just don't use modern technology. And then at the same time, there's a large number of, call them Gen X or whatever, I don't know whatever letter we're at right now, the younger people who they're totally into the technology, but never pick up a newspaper. So it's targeting the age group, if you will, or target market using the right method of communication, which means as a programmer, as a facilitator, as an organizer, you really have to use all the mediums out there, and that's very time consuming. So I think communication across the board is a barrier.
Yeah, great one to mention, David. Thank you very much for that. So we're going to go to Joanne, Scott, and Billy Joe, and then Jennifer and Lorianne to round it out. Joanne, how about you?
Yes, I think in my experience, some barriers to community building have been lack of resources. For example, just the amount of funding that's available, the amount of equipment that's available. This definitely results in a higher or a lower number of participation in the community. For example, if we had funding just for particular age group for 13 to 18, for example, that leaves out a lot of people who could participate. And yeah, again, fear. I think some people hesitate to participate because they're shy or that they're not confident or they're not encouraged. Thinking like maybe people may have negative opinions on how they're participating. But yeah, I think it's mainly lack of resources and fear.
Yeah, Joanne, you did a really great job of, I should have had you go at the end because you just did a great job of sort of encapsulating the comments that have been made so far. So thank you for that. That was a nice summary. Thank you. We'll go to Scott, Billy Joe, and Jennifer and Lorianne. Scott, how about you?
I think I'd like to put a plus one on communication as I forget the name. The person before David. David mentioned in a lot of the same reasons, you know, because, you know, working with youth, I have to communicate to kind of different generations of people. I have to try and communicate to obviously the youth themselves, but also to their parents, and that can take different forms and sometimes be a challenging balance in terms of trying to create the most effective communication strategy.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for seconding that, Scott. I was talking with somebody not long ago who said that community building is a communications exercise. So thanks for reiterating that. Somebody just jumped onto the call. Who am I?
Hi, it's just Serena. I got disconnected, so I just got
Oh, well, on. It's not just Serena. I'm glad that you're back. Thanks, Serena. All right. Thanks, Serena. Billy Joe, we're going to go over to you, and then Jennifer and Lorianne.
Tim, Billy Joe popped in the chat. Policies and attitudes. So, yeah, definitely. A number of people have mentioned attitudes, but as many people have mentioned policies, although Trevor alluded to it when he mentioned support from council. So thanks, Billy Joe.
Yeah, here. And thanks for highlighting that. And also, yeah, the idea about councils, oh man. Again, maybe an exercise in communication. Thanks, Billy Joe. Jennifer, Lorianne, you're on separate lines today, so I'll go to Jennifer first, even though I think, Lorianne, you jumped on the call just before Jennifer did. Jennifer, do you have...
Sorry.
You just mentioned something into chat.
Yeah, well, Jennifer just posted on the text, and I just wanted to add to what she shared is that in both of our experiences in working with recreation, we do have a lot of barriers with having community building, which is, like Jennifer mentioned, is the lack of interest and volunteers to get involved. But lately, it seems like in our community, they really like to do group activities. So I think that is what our main focus is towards community building, is starting kind of like a community group activity. So then we could find out what community members like, what they don't like, what they would like to see in the community, what they don't want to see in the community, just kind of get more of the community members involved.
Yeah, wow, there's a lot there. So thanks for that. I appreciate it. And I'm just going to because you're adding to what Jennifer had to say, I'm going to read out her response too. So Jennifer says, the lack of interest in volunteers to get involved in community building, for sure, something we often face. We're trying to do more group activities because it seems like what most of our community members like to do. So yeah, thanks for reiterating that for us, Lorianne, and thanks for putting that to chat, Jennifer. Did somebody just get disconnected and reconnect again?
Yeah, I think you asked Serena.
Okay. Serena again? Okay. All right, great. Awesome. Thank you all for your comments. Thanks for your ideas, too, about some of the barriers to community building. Just before we move on, though, I'm going to ask Carolyn. Carolyn, is there anything you want to add to this conversation, to those comments?
Sorry, I was on mute because I have a grandbaby in the background.
Aha, lucky you.
Yeah. No, I think that sometimes the barriers are ourselves as well. You know, sometimes as we looked at last week and in our last learning event, we, especially in the last learning event, the Get to Know Your Community, I noticed I went back to activity 4 and a lot of people had put ways that they were comfortable connecting with people was connecting with people who come to your programs and connecting with people you already know. So I'd like to suggest that sometimes the barriers to community building aren't out in our community, but they're in the way that we approach our community and that we need to try and really look for those people who might not feel part of community and reach out to them in what we're doing. And I think that's something Lori-Ann and Jennifer, I've read some of the things you've been posting and also Kwamundun First Nation Recreation Department, and it sounds like you guys are really trying to reach out beyond the normal group that you have, and that really supports community building too.
Wow, that's great. Thanks, Carolyn. And that kind of harkens back a little bit as well to the video that's attached to slide 18. And I know that some people haven't had a chance to watch that yet. It's about 10 minutes long, not even, maybe just a little bit less than 10 minutes. But it really focuses on the idea of creating authentic connections and authentic community. And I think maybe that's sort of what you're alluding to, Carolyn, and what's happening in Kwamundun. So I think that that's really fantastic. And I really would encourage you to take a look at that video if you can. It's pretty great. And again, as Carolyn mentioned, going back to the campfire activity that we took part in the last learning event, and the getting to know your community, how important that communication is, and creating those open lines of authentic dialogue, and then really entrusting the wisdom of the community. Slide 19, if you're following along, there are two approaches that we can think about in a recreation setting when it comes to community building. The first one, even though it's the second on the slide, that I want to talk about is direct delivery. So the direct delivery approach in most communities and organizations, recreation leaders, they have a responsibility to plan and deliver rec programs and services and events. In these roles, we as recreation leaders probably take directions from some sort of a plan. Maybe it's a community plan or a strategic plan, or maybe it's just that your boss is telling you they've got planned in their mind. From that, you have to develop your ideas into programs and events that fit in with that plan. So that's what we mean by a direct delivery approach. A direct delivery approach works pretty well when there's clear direction and when there's clear need. However, in community recreation, we might encounter challenges where there are unmet needs or there are unmet issues. Perhaps we don't know how to address or solve them. In these cases, it can be helpful to have the community help to find its own solution. And this is when community development approach helps. So community development presumes that citizens or residents are experts on what we need in their community, or what they need in their community, rather. When recreation leaders shift roles from providers to facilitators, people to help make things happen, they encourage and support their communities to come together. Once we as recreation leaders help start that conversation, and again, think back to your fireside chats, then the community can start to envision the programs or the services that they might be able to address, or the big issues, so they can address the big issues or address their big challenges. Although a community development approach can take a lot of time, it gives power to the community to take charge of what is the most important things for them. So if you need to address big issues or challenges, try a community development approach. Now, I want you to think about your own community. We're going to answer this question into the chat. When is a community building approach helpful? And what type of challenges or issues could be better addressed through this type of approach? So when is a community building approach helpful? And what type of challenges or issues could be better addressed through this type of approach? Now, rather than I'm just going to copy this and put this into the chat. Oh, it's already there? Great. My chat's not keeping up with what's going on it today. So rather than putting Peter on the spot again to start off with, we're going to start at the bottom of our order. So this time we'll go with Lorianne. And Jennifer and Billy Joe, I know you've been entering your answers into the chat, so feel free to do that again. Then we'll go to Scott and Joanne, and then David and Serena. So Lorianne, Jennifer, Billy Joe. Lorianne, would you like to start off for us?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just looking at the question.
Kim, I wonder if while Lorianne's thinking about her answer, I'll just give an example of something that comes to my mind, and that might help people think of some of their answers, because this is a pretty big question. Is that okay,
sure,
Lorianne,
thanks.
if I just share sort of my thoughts, and that might help you shape yours as well? So for me, then, a community of building approach is really helpful when we have, I don't know if you guys have heard of wicked problems. So a wicked problem is something that takes a lot of thinking. Climate change is a wicked problem. But sometimes in our communities, we have really complicated things that happen. We might have a community place where all of the facilities are under one roof, and something major happens to that facility, and then there's nowhere else to hold recreation things. One of the communities that comes to my mind in the Yukon is Beaver Creek is set up that way. Somebody else, I can't remember who, said that their community is like that too. So, you know, when all of a sudden everything sort of turns sideways in the way that you do things, or things aren't working or running the way you think, whether it's in your programs or something in the community, then a community building approach is helpful. Nathan shared an example last week of, you know, an increase in suicide. And community building is a really helpful approach in that case, because it takes a whole community to solve or even to come together to address such big challenges and in our communities. So I think that if you think of when as a community building approach is helpful and what types of challenges or issues, it's kind of those things that are a little bit bigger than just us in our jobs that are really helpful with or where community building can help. So hopefully that helps you guys think about that, and I'll pass it back to Lorianne, who Jennifer said will be speaking on behalf of both of you.
Thank you. Just listening to what you just shared, Caroline, it kind of made me think of how we approach in our community building is that we try our best to be very helpful towards our community when there is something happening, like a challenge, such as if we were to have a flood or if there was a fire near the community, we tried our best to be very helpful. We are not just recreation coordinators. We are also very helpful and trying to approach that kind of stuff, that type of an emergency. We become the people, the volunteers, and we become the people that are more direct. And then, we are also very comforting towards anything in our community if there is something to happen. So with Jennifer and I, we're both very organized and sufficient when something was to happen into our community. We both lean onto each other, and we both are like, okay, how can we resolve this problem, and how do we do it together as a community? So Jennifer and I, we also are very direct, and we work really well together with the chief and council and our band manager. So if there was to be a problem that we approach them, and they're very helpful and knowledgeable, and also when they're also alerted, they kind of lean on us too in a community. So then there is a dynamic in our community when it comes to community building, because everyone has their own job and their own title, but then when it comes to a problem in the community, we all set that aside and then we all come together and help one another when it's needed, especially when it's a challenge or issue in our community. So we're very communicative and organized and very sufficient together when there is a challenge or an issue in the community. I hope that answers the question.
That's great, Lorianne. Yeah, no, that's really wonderful. Thank you. I just want to highlight a couple of your points in there, and it's the idea of harnessing the power of your community to solve a problem that maybe you don't have an immediate answer to. And those are the kinds of problems that we're thinking about that Carolyn described as, I don't know if you called them wicked problems or wicked big problems, but I think of them as wicked big problems. So that's, either way, it's a pretty good descriptive. So we'll ask to, so we're going to go to Scott and then Joanne and David next. And Lorianne, I really appreciate your fulsome answer. Feel free to, you don't have to have the solution to the problem, but if you think of a problem that can be solved with a community building approach, or community development approach, then feel free. So we're going to go to Scott and Joanne and then David.
Sorry, I was actually so captivated by Lorianne's response that I forgot what the question was, so you could recap that for me quickly.
Sure thing, Scott. The question is, so when is a community building approach helpful? You can also, so Carolyn also writes, one of the types of challenges or issues that could be better addressed through community building approach rather than a direct delivery approach.
Awesome, yeah. I mean, this is obviously a huge challenge and something that I don't think, you know, we can completely solve, through community building work on its own. But, you know, the big focus of why I do what I do comes down very much just to, you know, mental health and supporting our young people in their, you know, in their day-to-day life and their struggles and helping them feel less isolated and that sort of thing. So I think, you know, that's definitely one area that can benefit from community building.
Yeah, for sure, Scott. And I hear you. These they're big things. And like I mentioned, we're not going to solve the problems here, but being able to identify what some of them are might help to guide us in the direction of how we might begin to approach trying to look at these problems. But thank you for highlighting that. So we're going to go to Joanne and David and then Serena. And yeah, we are going backwards in the order for the folks who are starting it off before. Don't worry, we haven't forgot you. We're coming around to you. We're giving you a little break to run at the end this time. So Joanne, David, and Serena. Joanne, what about you?
Yes, my thoughts on this are, as Caroline mentioned, when there's like a big something going on, like suicide or crime, vandalism, and stuff in the community, I think community building approach, having that, what we call is an interagency meeting where all our stakeholders connect and meet, for example, us recreation, our senior administrative officer, wellness, justice, the RCMP, mental health, education. We come together and discuss and give each other recommendations and suggestions on what we can do and approach the issue and solve, address the issues. And I think it really helps because it addresses a lot of stuff. For example, when we have the interagency meetings, when we have interagency meetings, we share and give each other suggestions and recommendations on what we can do. And therefore, for example, if recreation has active programming and we're low with staff, that other stakeholder, for example, the RCMP, suggests or offers us to volunteer in our programming and mental health, they make themselves more available. The justice, they work harder to work with their clients. And yeah, I think having an interagency meeting really helps us address our issues in the community.
Yeah, no, that's great, Joanne. Thanks for mentioning that. And part of like coming circling back around to the idea of communication, and that's really what you're talking about. You know, getting everybody's input. That the really important piece of that is the listening element and making sure that the people who are listening are engaged in authentic communication with their stakeholders, with the people who they're talking to. Thanks, Joanne. David, and then Serena, and then Kumanoptik, and we're head over to you. And if anybody wants to enter your answers into the chat, please feel free.
Okay. David, we're up to you. Yeah. Okay, so David here. I have to agree with Carolyn where she said for large, complex issues, and what came to my mind is the land use planning issues. Now, land use involves a great deal of recreation, conservation, and industry, and all sorts of uses. So that involves not just regional communities, i.e. they're processing the Dawson land use plan right now, but it involves the entire community of the Yukon. So that is a very complex issue that brings together multiple communities. And the aim for that type of approach is so that you can gain consensus between all the players, all the stakeholders, everybody has an opportunity to put in their 2 cents worth, and you're working towards a consensus so that once you've come to an action plan, people have a sense of well-being. They feel like they've contributed. They feel like their voice has been heard, and, you know, any friction has been hopefully removed.
Great answer, David. Folks, I mean, there's a lot of passion here, and because I think that you really recognize the value and the power of engaging in community building and community development. So, great responses. We are going to push up a little bit on the time barrier towards the end, so I'm going to ask you, if you can, to try and keep your answers to 30 seconds or less. I'm not going to hold you to a timer or anything like that. There's not going to be a giant hook waiting to pull you off stage. But if you can, try to keep your answers to 30 seconds. But great answers so far. We're going to go to Serena and Kumanoptik, David, Nathan, and Peter will round it out. And Andrew and Trevor, you've been writing your answers into chat, so we'll look for those there too. Go ahead, Serena.
So yesterday I was in training and my coworker was saying that that all the managers and directors, like before COVID happened, they used to get together once a week, and so then they could work towards like almost the same goal. Now it's a little bit different. They don't meet once a week, and that kind of falls through the cracks, and we do see that because our departments don't really communicate too much between each other, just because we're also a big First Nation. But at the same time, I feel like they are going to, or at least the organization, the First Nation, is going towards something a little bit different, because we did just through an all-staff meeting where we were able to talk about some things, but having all staff there is kind of hard to get your point across in such a minimal time.
So I think there's some changes that could be made to better our community.
That's really great, Serena. It highlights the idea that wicked problems can happen to small communities. So thanks for bringing that up. I appreciate it. I will head over to Kuminoptik and David, Nathan, and Peter. You might be on mute still.
Dave, can you guys hear me now?
We can hear you now. Loud and clear.
Okay. When is a community building approach helpful? When the community is at its most sedentary time, or when the suicide rates are increasing, it's most likely the time to building community approach.
Perfect. I like your succinct answer. Thank you. Exactly right. Those are big problems that require everybody's buy-in, which means everybody's contribution. Thanks for that. I appreciate it. We'll head over to Dana, and then Nathan, and then Peter.
I think a time that community building approach is necessary is when you have new or you're growing resources. For example, we just had a community dinner to get some feedback from the community as our justice team has been growing, and we want to hear how the community wants it to be used.
Dana, I love that. I like pointing out that sometimes your wicked problems can be good problems. That's awesome. Thanks very much. All right, Nathan, and then Peter.
Hi. Yeah. The only thing I can think of was from the 80s, this grandmother crying because her grandchild kept sniffing gas, and then we found out it was this cool little sick thing grade 2, grade 3, grade 4, and 5 were doing, and the adults didn't know, and they suddenly became addicted to sniffing. So and the elder made the community aware of it, so everyone started basically following them everywhere since. Reminded me of that It Takes a Village. So, yeah, when it's a really dark, bad problem like substance abuse or suicide, it takes everyone in the community to get involved, and especially when it involves little kids. Thank you.
Thanks for bringing that up, Nathan. And that phrase, It Takes a Village to Raise a Child, That's kind of exactly what we're talking about. Engaging everybody, including everybody, which empowers them and creates benefits for community. And that's exactly what happened there. So thanks. We're gonna recap that in just a minute. Peter, we'll go to you next, or go to you last, I guess.
When I think of this question, it reminds me, like, when you said It Takes a Village to Raise a Child, there's this book by Susan Pinker called The Village Effect. He says it takes a village to raise a centenarian, and a centenarian is someone who lives to be 100 years old or more. And in her book, she goes to areas in the world where people on average live longer than everyone else. And there's areas in Japan and areas in Italy. She's talking about this place in Sardinia where the city is built so tightly, and everyone is always communicating with each other. So when she did the research and data analysis, she found that from smoking, drinking, the flu, exercise, diet, when you control all these variables, the number one predictor for how long we live is social contact, in-person social contact and connectivity. So when I think of when a community building approach helpful, like, I almost think you can apply it to almost everything because it just is so critical to our survival and our health.
Thanks, Peter. Yeah, no, I think you're right. We could use community building and community development as our modus operandi, or the way that we do things for all the problems that we face. And I like the idea of it takes a village to raise a centenarian. as much as I like the idea of it takes a village to raise a child. But we got to move on here because we're running close to the end. So just take a look, if you can, if you're on the slides, take a look at slide 20, and this sort of recaps what Nathan was saying. When you engage your community, people with lived experience, and include their points of view, it makes them feel empowered. And just think to yourself about what that means for you when you feel empowered by something that happens in your life or in your community. And it's through those key building blocks that we reap community benefits. So think about those three words, engage, include, and empower. If you take a look at slide 21, engaging community brings people together and develops relationships among people and sectors, something else that we heard about in our conversations. And if you take a look at slide 22, inclusion is about ensuring the role and the place for everybody in the conversations you have. We need to value all the knowledge that is gained from citizens so that we can reduce and we can remove barriers, something else we talked about. Being inclusive empowers and educates other people and empowers and educates our community so that we can help to lead ourselves to better solutions or help communities lead themselves to better solutions. I keep saying this word empowerment. The World Health Organization explains empowerment as a process through which people gain control over the factors and decisions that shape their lives. Control comes by increasing strength and building capacities to gain access, partners, and networks, and or a voice. And slide 23 explains empowerment and how we can increase what we call social capital. Social capital, that's the value that comes from social networks or groupings of people. And that's what allows individuals to achieve things that they couldn't do on their own. Thinking back to some of the stories we've heard already. So we're not going to go around the circle here, but I want you to think about this. As I mentioned before, what does it feel like for you personally? What does it feel like to be empowered, either on your own as an individual or as part of your community? In this learning event, we've talked a little bit about what and how, the whats and the whens and the hows of community building. But there's also one last important one, and that's the why. The why brings us back to our roots and reminds us of what the benefits are of recreation. Using community building approach in recreation helps our activities and programs contribute to bigger outcomes, like the benefits that are shown in slide 24. We know that recreation can strengthen community leadership, it can build trusted relationships, and it can foster health and well-being. It also encourages strong self-esteem, positive self-image, and improves the quality of life. There's one last thing to do this week, and that's to complete the final RLA. It doesn't take very long, but I want you to take your time in answering it. I want you to reflect on your role as a recreation leader and the place of community building and recreation. So on slide 28, there's a description of what the RLA is for this week. It's the in my heart I value, in my head I believe, and from my hands I will. There's a template there that you can look at. Carolyn still had a couple of answers of her own. Do your best, though, to really make this a meaningful activity. It can be pretty powerful for folks. But that's all the time we've got for today, folks. So this is going to wrap up our CB101 conference call. Please take some time to do the RLA this week, and take some time to fill out the short feedback form that's available in activity number 7 later today. If you have any questions, feel free to stay on the line after the recording stops. Carolyn will be here and I will be here. Masi Cho, thank you, Kwana. And if I don't speak to you before the new year, happy winter holiday. Happy Christmas. I hope you find peaceful times with the people you love.
And
thanks, everybody.
I just popped what I found in the translator that I think is Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays in Inuktitut. And I'm wondering if somebody from Nunavut can pronounce it for me.
Can you please resend it again?
Yeah, I'll put it in again. It's pretty long. It starts with a Q.
Oh,
How do you say that, Joanne?
It's Roberto Victor Roberto Business.
Oh, that sounds beautiful. And is that, am I correct that that's Happy Holidays or Merry Christmas?
Yeah. Yes, that's correct. It's Roberto Victor Roberto Business.
It sounds way better in Inuktitut than it does in English, so thank you for sharing that. So I look forward, Tim and I look forward to chatting with you all in the new year. And you know how to reach us if you have any questions. And I just wanted to quickly say congratulations to Dana, who this is her last learning event for her certificate in Northern Recreation Leadership. So congratulations, Dana. I'll pop a more official congratulations to you shortly. And I think, Joanne, you only have one learning event left to do after Christmas, and then you'll have earned your certificate in Northern Recreation Leadership as well. So all the best, everybody, and thanks for all your hard work. And thanks for being in the community. Yeah. Yay! Bye, community.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
There, I think that's you and
that's
you and me,
that's
Tim.
You and me.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
I'm just going to end the conference call recording. I forgot.
Okay, thank you. Oh.